main verse is going to be verse 4. We're going to be looking pretty much at all of chapter 14, but I didn't want to read all of it to you right off. I'm going to put you to sleep or something or other here. But we're going to be in Judges chapter 14. We're going to do one verse here. Then we're going to have a song I want you to listen to. And then we're going to get into the message here, okay? But in Judges chapter 14, verse 4, this is a story of Samson. This is one of the first stories in Samson's life. And Judges chapter 14, verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now this has been a very confusing verse many times in my life as I've tried to understand some things about Samson. I was reading an article Monday or Tuesday along these texts, and the light bulb went off. As I was doing that. And then I worked on it and worked on it, and God gave us a message. But I want us to listen to this song, and then we're going to have our message. Thank you.
I'm on a journey to that blessed promised land where forever cares of life are passed away. When I finally reach that city resting on the golden strand, I will know that Jesus led me all the way. Oh, lead me all the way to the land of day. As I journey this I'll pray, Jesus, lead me all the way. As I travel ever onward, I am guided by His grace, and I'll trust His hand of mercy day by day. Till at last I reach my homeland and receive eternal life, I will thank Him for His grace along the way. Oh, lead me all the way to the land of day. As I journey this, I'll pray, Jesus, lead me all the way. The way to the land of day. As I journey this I'll pray, Jesus, lead me all the way. Lead me all the way to glory, lead me all the way to the land of day. Land of endless day. As I journey on, as I journey this I'll ever pray, Jesus, lead me all the way.
Fast for you, you got to listen quick, but it's about leading. Now, one of the things about leading is following. You ever play follow the leader? Everybody wanted to be the leader, huh? A lot of people didn't want to be the follower, huh? Okay, Judges chapter 14. Verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we ask as we open up these scriptures that you guide and direct us and let us see what it is to follow God and that we might find what he wants in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, this verse 4 was very confusing for me for a long time. And you'll see as we get along here how this is going and how this comes from and where it comes from. Samson was ordained by God before he was born to be set aside to serve God. The angel of the Lord came to his mother and father and told them that he was going to be a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite is a special vow that a man would take for a certain period of time. Well, Samson's was supposed to be for his whole life. Now, the things of a Nazarite were, they were not supposed to have anything to do with anything from the grapevine. Grape seeds, grape juice, anything, grape seeds, raisins, wet, dry, anything. They wasn't supposed to have anything to do with anything from a grapevine. And they were not supposed to come in contact with any dead body. And they were not supposed to cut their hair. At the end of their vow as a Nazarite, then they had some sacrifices and things they took to the temple. They shaved their hair and put it on the altar. It was a time of setting aside. It was a time of sanctification. It was a time of being set aside for a special purpose for God. Well, even from the womb, the mother was supposed to go by the same guidelines as a Nazarite so that she could, and when she birthed this child from the womb, he was set aside to serve God for a special purpose. And a side note here. Jesus was not a Nazarite. He did not take the Nazarite vow. He was from Nazareth and raised in Nazareth. So he was a Nazarene, but he didn't have the Nazarite vow on his life. That's just a side note for you for future references. But now, by the law, the Jews were not supposed to marry anyone that did not believe in Jehovah God. The uncircumcised here, the Jews who were circumcised, the males to be set aside to make them peculiar people, unusual, separated from the rest of the world. They had many guidelines, they had many rules, they had many dietary restrictions, all kinds of things they had on their life, part mainly for health and hygiene, but also to set them aside for God. By the commandments of God, they were not supposed to marry into any other nationality that worshipped idols because it pulled them away from the true God. In Corinthians, it tells us not to be unequally yoked together. What communion hath light with darkness? So in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Christians are commanded by God not to marry someone out of their belief, that is not a true Christian that believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior, the only one to heaven and those things. Well, in chapter 13 of Judges, verse 1, the reason that Israel was under the Philistines for 40 years here is because they had been evil. They had been wicked, and God was punishing them with the Philistines, and he made them slaves to the Philistines. Philistines had dominion over Israel at this time. So, Samson goes off to Timnath, and he sees a woman there. And he likes what he sees. And he says, she pleases me well. I like her. Get her for me. Well, in those days, the parents set up the weddings as the custom in the Mideast was. So he told his mom and dad, I like her. Get her for me. Nowhere is there any mention of his love for her anywhere in any of this context. Now, she tries to get something out of him and says, well, you tell me you love me and you don't tell me these things. But that's another part of the story. We haven't got to that yet. His parents tell him he's wrong. The parents tell him, why did you go over to the heathen, basically, to find you a wife? Is there not some in all of our people, in all of the nation of Israel, in all of our family, isn't there just one? Well, he wasn't looking there. He went off to a whole other town, the enemy's town, unamong the enemy, and found him someone he wants. He says, get her for me. I want her. Well, many times that happens in our lives. It happens in our children's lives, but it also happens in adults' lives because they see something that they want and they say, I want it, I'm going to get it, and they don't ask God about it. They don't bring God into the picture. They don't seek God's advice. They don't seek counsel from one of God's people. They want it, I see it, I want it, I'm going to get it. I've known several people that have done that and purchased things. And when they purchase them, they become a curse to them. They start to hate that thing because they bought it and they wanted to have it and I got to have it and I got to have it and they bought it and it turns out to be a curse to them. They spend more money on it than they ever should have had in the first place. It keeps breaking down and keeps messing up and it puts them in a financial bind and all kinds of things. And what they thought they wanted so bad, they turn around and wind up hating it because it reminds them of when they went away from God. Well, that's what Samson is doing here. He went to the enemy of Israel on purpose and found somebody. He's not willing to let God bring him a lifetime companion. He's not willing to do things God's way. He saw it and he wants it. I wonder how their conversation may have went. You've probably heard some like this. Now, Daddy, these Philistines aren't as bad as you say they are. You know, that's just what you hear on the news or whatever, you know? No, Mama, I'll be okay. God will watch. I'm okay, Mama. It's okay. You know, we've heard those conversations before. It's all right. It's okay. It's not like you say it is. Samson was saying, I don't care what God's word says. That's what he was saying. I don't care. If this is what God says, that's fine. Now in verse 4. Look at verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. I believe he is the Lord here. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Samson does not hate the enemy. Supposedly, he's in love with one of them. His definition of love. Well, in verse 5. Then went Samson down with his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and said, behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, like a goat. And he had nothing in his hand, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, for a Nazarite to go down into a vineyard was a mistake in the first place. He wasn't supposed to have anything to do with anything like that. But now what's he doing down there? Why is he down there? I don't know. He didn't have any business going down there. But there's a lot of things he did in his life that he had no business being there. But he continued to do some things his own way. Well, while he's down there, a young lion roars against him, starts to attack him. Well, Samson was a strong man in the Bible, and God comes upon him and gives him special strength, and that lion comes upon him and he just grabs it and rents him in two. I don't know if he grabbed him from jaw to jaw or leg to leg or whatever, it doesn't say, but rent means to tear. And he, that lion come at him, and with his bare hands, no knife, no rocks, no spears, no swords, with his bare hands, he tore that lion apart. Then he goes back up on the trail with his parents and don't tell them anything. Isn't that like kids sometimes? They go out and they do all this. They face a lion. They almost get killed. And they have all these disasters and don't tell nobody. Many times they don't want you to know about it. Because they know, Mom, what did you go down in that vineyard for in the first place? What are you doing down there with that lion? When you see that lion coming, why don't you get out of there? What did you do that for? You know. Well, Samson isn't always thinking the right way. But in spite of that, God watches over him. Well, so they go down there, verse 7, and he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Oh, man, he's hooked now. He went and talked to her, and she had all of her perfume on. She had her eyelashes all fixed up. She had all of her makeup done on, and she was all sitting there and flashing her eyes and talking to him. He was, I like her. I like her. I like her. She pleased me well. I want her. I want her. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. You know, he's just like a guy. You know, he's just gone crazy. Well, verse 8. After a time, he returned her. He returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Well, he's going back to Timnath. And he said, well, I'm going to go down here and see what happened last time I was down here. Maybe there's another lion or something. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, guys want to go see a dead body, you know, whatever, you know. You got a dog along the side of the road. They want to stop and look at it and see what it looks like. I don't know. But he goes off down there to see this carcass of this lion. Says that's what he went down there to find. Well, in the process, he finds honey. The bees, you know, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Israel. And the bees have made a hive in there and they've got honey. I don't know how much time had passed. I don't know how long it takes bees to do that. But I'm sure the vultures and the hyenas or something would have come in and cleared it up. And ants and all those things. And he finds honey in this carcass of this lion. He gets some honey. Eats it. Goes up and gives his parents some to eat. You know, they get the honeycomb. You ever had honeycomb with honey in it? Oh, just chew on that for all day, huh? Tastes good, huh? And he doesn't tell them where he got it from. And he goes into town. Well, in those days, it was a custom to have a big feast for a wedding. 7 days of feasting. Now, remember, he's with the enemy. He's in their enemy's town. He's in the enemy's village. So he's there, and it's party time. Going to get married. Samson's going to get married. Oh, yeah, yeah. Party time, party time. Feast time, feast time. All 7 days of it here. And who's he partying with? The enemy. The Philistines. The ones that have suppressed Israel. The ones that have made Israel slaves. That's who he's partying with. He's partying with the enemy. He's down there with the enemy, partying with them, and just getting in with all they're doing, just having a good old time with the enemy. He's in there telling jokes and messing around with the enemy. He's sitting there just doing like they are. He's just making himself at home in the camp of the enemy. They send 30 companions over, so he's not partying alone. 30 other Philistines. He's there with, and they're just partying on and having a good old time. Well, Samson gets into the party mode and gets into what's going on, you know. And you know how guys are. One guy tells a joke, another one's got to tell a better joke, or I've got a better story than you got, or whatever. Well, he makes a wager. out of a riddle with these 30 men. Here in, verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it unto me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment, like a fine garment, a fine sheet of fine linen, very expensive, and 30 changes of clothes. Verse 13. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments? And they said unto him, put forth the riddle, that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Well, this is 30-1. And Samson's proving how smart he is. Samson's proving how much more of a man he is than those 30 guys. And he's around strutting this stuff like some little old banty rooster. And he's all proud of who he is and what he's done and what he's got. And I fooled all of you guys. I fooled all 30 of you. And you can't get it. You know, this party's going on. This is going on. They're just having a good old time there. And Samson's around bloating and goating. He got his chest all puffed up. And he's just doing great. 30-1, and I'm going to win. My one brain is better than all you 30 brains, you know? Well, he forgot he's dealing with the enemy. Don't ever trust the enemy. The enemy doesn't play by the same games that you play, by the rules that you play by. Well, in verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that which we have? It is not so. He says, hey, you get your husband to tell us the answer to this riddle, or we're going to burn you and your father and your house. Now, this is the people that Samson wants to marry into. This is the ones that he's been partying with for 7 days. This is his newfound friends that he's found, that he's been around with 7 days. And now he's starting to find out what kind of, well, he hasn't found out yet, but he will, what kind of friends these people really are. He says, you brought us over here and we're going to have to give up what we do have. You brought us over here to party with him. You brought us over here to be friends with him. You brought us over here to be companions with him. And now we're going to have to give up what we got. He says, this ain't going to happen. He says, this is not going to happen. We will not lose this bet, even if we have to kill you to get it. That's the way the enemy works. That's the way the enemy has always worked, and that's the way the enemy will always work. Do not go in partners. Do not be buddies. Do not be party buddies, whatever you want to call it, with the enemy. Because they will always be the enemy, and no matter what you see on one day, that's not what you're going to see the next day, and it's not what's happening behind the curtains. You must not have any dealings with the enemy, because the enemy is always the enemy, and the enemy will always be the enemy, and the enemy does not like to lose, and they will do anything they can. It doesn't matter what the rules or regulations or anything are. They will do anything they can to win. Well, verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and love me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people that thou hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father and mother. Shall I tell it to thee? You don't love me. You hate me. That's what she's saying. Well, neither one of them knows what love is in the first place. Verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. I mean, she just pours on the waterworks.
She pours on the tears and she just compels him and compels him and compels him and bugs him and bugs him and cries and all kinds. You don't love me. You hate me. You don't love me. You won't tell me all this stuff. I mean, she is doing all the things that women do. And us guys, you know. And she go and he tells her. He trusts her. And what she do? She goes and tells who? Who does she go and tell? The children of her people. She's still the enemy. She's still a Philistine. She's not a Jew. She hasn't converted. She still follows Dagon, the fish god. Nothing's happened to change her life. Nothing is going to go on. And she goes back to protect herself and her father and her people. Verse 18. The men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye have not found out my riddle. He says, you have dug deep into my wife. You have plowed her under. You have tore at her. And if you hadn't have done that, you wouldn't have found the riddle. Samson finds out what happened. Samson finds out that they made her tell, because there was no way. There was no way. Samson never thought about who all this would involve. Samson never thought about how far the consequences of the riddle would go. Samson didn't even consider what was going to happen. He had a plan. He was going to win. They were going to lose. And that was his plan. Samson wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking. He was flying by the seat of his pants and by his emotions. He was not thinking. He was all goo-goo-eyed over her. He was all infatuated with being the king of the party, the number one, the groom. He was all excited about all those things. He's all excited about the riddle. He's all excited about getting this woman. Oh, how beautiful she is. Oh, man. He's all about that. Trying to prove who he is, seeing how important he is, and what's going on in his life, and how smarter he is. And he didn't stop and think what would happen. He didn't stop and think. Well, Samson goes out and kills 30 Philistines and gets their stuff and takes it back to pay off his bet. Look in verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down into Ekalon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave changes of garments to them that expounded the riddle. Now look at the last sentence in verse 19. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. He didn't take her for his wife or anything. His anger was kindled. His anger was kindled. What is kindling? The little pieces of wood that you start a fire with? Kindling. Your little pieces of wood you chop up just a little bit, you get a little match, and you start a fire. For the little kindling, you start a fire. And then when that gets going, you put some bigger stuff on it. When that gets going, you put some bigger stuff on it, and pretty soon you have a big fire. His anger was kindled. Not until that time was the enemy of Israel the enemy of Samson. Not until that time was he ready to do what God wanted him to do. God set him aside from the womb to be a deliverer for Israel. This is the book of Judges. He's supposed to come in and set him free. God set him aside for that job. God had a job for Samson to do. And Samson got all goo-goo-eyed over some girl and wasn't going to do what God told him to do. And God had a plan. And God says, you will do what I called you to do. And God had to break Samson's heart. God had to take that woman out of his life. And God had to get Samson mad. Before Samson would do what God wanted him to do. Before the battle got personal,
before the battle involved him, before the battle was about Samson, he says his anger was kindled. He didn't have anger against them. He wouldn't have been there partying with 30 of them. He wouldn't have been out there trying to marry one of them. But God had to get a hold to Samson. God had to shake Samson up. God had to break Samson so he could humble him, so he could take his pride away, so he could use him to do a mighty work for God. And he gets so mad. What happened to this girl he loved? What happened to this girl he was goo-goo-eyed over? What happened to this girl he wanted? He goes back home to his father. Back home where he belonged. And not in the camp of the enemy. But something drastic had to happen in his life before he would turn around. And the enemy was the enemy. So many people are at friends with the world and friends with the things of the world and the movies of the world and the music of the world and the parties of the world and the drugs of the world and the happiness of the world and all the women of the world and all the men of the world and all the things that the world does and all the stuff. They're all involved in that. That's all their buddies. The world is enmity against God. God sets you aside as a Christian for a special purpose to serve and work for Him and not be a part of those things. Sometimes God has to go into your life and yank those things out of your life so that you'll get the world out of your life, so you'll get serious about God and care about God and do something with God in your life. Like this 15-year-old boy that we read about from Venezuela. He was on his way to his gutter. His mama says, you put your stuff in an old garbage bag, not even a new garbage bag. You take your stuff and you get out on the street or go, Grandma, go somewhere. I'm done with you. He says, I was headed for the gutter. Until that happened in his life, he would not turn to Jesus. He knew where the answers were. He knew where to find the answers. He says, he'd wait in the church to get repent and get saved. He knew what he had to do. But so many times, God has to put us in the gutter before we'll look up. And that's what God had to do with Samson. He had to break his heart. Had to break his heart. Had to get his blood boiling. Had to get him upset. Had to get him mad at sin. You got to be mad at sin. You got to hate sin for what it is. You got to hate cigarettes. You got to hate drugs. You got to hate liquor. You got to hate divorce. You got to hate prostitution. You got to hate the sins of the world, the lust of the world, the desires of the world. You got to hate shacking up. You got to hate all those things. It's got to be a sin to you. You got to hate it. You got to turn from it. And it's got to be real in your life. And you got to hate sin. If you don't ever hate sin, you're going to be parties with the sin. And what's God going to do to get your attention? What's God going to have to do to get your attention? What's God going to have to do to get your attention? And if He don't get your attention, you're going to wind up in the gutter. Oh, you don't have to be living under a bridge to be in a gutter. You can be living in a gutter at home because you're miserable. You're not happy. You don't have the joy in your heart. Because you haven't learned to hate sin. God had to make Samson hate sin. Excuse me. Well, this woman that he liked, the father gives her to the best man. One of his friends at the party. He gives her to him. Well, Samson comes back later and says, well, you know, he's kind of calmed down a little bit. Starting to think about that girl a little bit. His anger's starting to mellow out a little bit. He says, well, I think I'm going to go get my wife now. I think, you know, kind of calm down a little bit and everything. He's starting to forget. Starting to fall back. Well, he goes over there and finds out that the father gave him to somebody else. Gave her to somebody else. I thought you hated her. You left. Well, Samson gets mad again. And he catches 300 foxes. Ties their tails together. And puts a torch between them. Made out of brush. Puts a torch between them. So he gets 300 foxes. Ties them tail to tail. And puts a brush in between their tails. He's got 150 of these. And he sets them on fire. And he lets them go through the cornfields and the fields of the Philistines. And he destroys them. Well, the Philistines get mad. You know what they do? They go and burn the father's And the daughter, they burned their house anyway. So she's totally out of the picture now. The enemy burned one of its own. Burned them in their house. Set it on fire and they died. Well, there is enemy now. You read the rest of his life. Well, Samson has girl trouble off and on all down through there. Gets in with a prostitute one time, goes in with Delilah another time, all kinds of things. God keeps yanking him back, yanking him back, yanking him back. Finally, God takes the uses Philistines and they take his eyes out. Well, that takes care of his girl problems. He's not looking at them all the time anymore. They shave his hair, make an animal out of him, put him in the mill, turning corn, turning a mill wheel. Big old mill wheel. They used to put down and grind corn and stuff. They put him pushing that mill wheel, pushing that mill wheel, pushing that mill wheel. And his hair starts to grow and he starts to pray. And he starts to pray. And he starts to pray. And you ain't got nothing else to do, man. You're pushing that mill wheel around. They bring him out to make sport of him one day. Big old party. Hey, we're having a party. Come on, let's get Samson out here. Let's make fun of him. And they tie him between two pillars. He says, God, one more time, let me avenge my eyes. One more time, God. And he grabs those pillars and he pulls them down. The balcony collapses on him and kills him and all those people on the balcony and all those people under there. And he says he killed more Philistines in that day than he did in his whole life. Some of our lives are like that, up and down, because we keep playing with the world, keep playing with sin. Oh, God used him in a mighty way. He did mighty things for God. The last mighty thing he did killed him. But God allowed it, and God used him. We must learn to hate sin. If you do not hate sin, then you are vulnerable for sin. You need to hate sin for what it is and what it does to lives and families and homes, our children, our country, our government, our schools. You need to hate sin for what it is and recognize for what it is. And it needs to be hated, despised, and despicable. If you don't hate the world, are you saved? Or are you playing in it? Which is it? What's God going to do to yank it out of your life? God's got plans for your life. God has plans for your life. And they're still there. And they haven't went away. What are you going to do? It's your call. It's your call. But you have to make the call. You have to make the decision. And you have to make the move. God forced Samson. God's trying to force you. God's trying to do things in your life. Let it happen. Take your medicine and move on. Sometimes you've just got to turn your back on it, walk away from it, count it as a loss, and move on. People that buy things that they shouldn't buy and all this kind of stuff, sometimes you just got to let the bank have it, get rid of it, count it as a loss and move on and put it behind you and go forward. There's some things that happen in your life that's going to be consequences for the rest of your life. Sometimes you just got to count the loss and forget it and move on and go forward and leave it behind you and don't look back. Remember
Lot's wife, when they pulled her out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels actually pulled her out by the hands. She turned around and looked back. She couldn't leave it behind her. She wanted that. And she turned to a pillar of salt, because she couldn't leave it behind. Can't go back, folks. Some of those bridges you need to burn and go forward. If you ever want to do something for God, if you ever want joy to fill your soul, oh, there's going to be storms, there's going to be problems, there's going to be rocks in the road, but listen, you can still have joy in your heart, you can still know you're following God, you can still know God's working in your life, you can still know you're doing what God wants you to do. Love Jesus. Hate the enemy. Because the enemy will always be the enemy. Through all the women in Samson's life, this is the closest he came to having a wife. Something he wanted, he never got. Wasn't part of God's plan. Some things you want are not part of God's plan. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what God wants you to have and what God doesn't want you to have. I don't know. But chances are you do. Let's stand at our feet and have a time of invitation to see what God has for you. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you'll take the life of Samson. God, help it be an example to our lives. God, help us, strengthen us. God, encourage us. God, let us see what you can do in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the honey. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus.